and online at www.kaytfm.com.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lem Thomas coming to you once again with the show that's all about the people. And as I promised, we're going to bring it to you because this show is yours. We got to bring it to you. And we want you definitely involved. And as I said, this is the show that's all about the people. Coming to you live from Alexandria, Louisiana, KAYT 88.1. This is my wife, Linda. She'd like to introduce herself also.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here today with my husband and hope that we will not bore you. And he has some information, good information. So, and I'll let him get started.
And I promised you, I said, I'm not going to kick that old dead horse of education over and over again. But something came up recently, and I just got to bring it to you. I just, because I want to know how you think on this also. And I want to bring it home to you as to how I feel about this. You know, our superintendent of education's name is Mr. Dr. Cade Brumley. Dr. Cade Brumley was appointed to the position of education superintendent in 2020. And recently, heard on a news clip, recently he said that you should hold children back who are not able to read. And there are pros and cons concerning holding kids back. And I'm against holding kids back. And I'll tell you, it's from experience. I was held back. I was held back in the first grade. I started school in 1956, and I was actually held back. And that's okay. I don't have a problem with that at all. And my little brother, who became a straight-A student in high school, was also held back. So I think we need to study this very careful because we'll hold back so many kids, and I don't think the kids will adjust. Some of them will quit school. I just don't see it being to the kids' advantage. I think we should work with a child. If that child has any kind of disability, a learning disability, then just work with them. Do the best you can. Put them in a special class with special people that skill. But try to do all you can to move a child along. And as far as me being held back, well, I will elaborate a little bit. I started school in 1956. I was born in 50. I was 6 years old. And I went to school not knowing anything. I mean, not knowing anything. And that's why I appreciate Head Start today. I really appreciate Head Start. Head Start helped kids. And it's been proven over and over and over again. But I could not spell my name. I could not read my name. I could not count to my age. I could not count. I could not recognize numbers. If I was coming along today, they would have thrown me away in a special ed class. And I know it would have happened because from what I see today, many kids get thrown away, put on medicine, and they'll actually ostracize. And that would have happened to me. But it was different then. My teacher did not know what else to do. So the best thing she could do was just hold me there and maybe I would start. Maybe I would get going some kind of way. But eventually I learned to read my name. Eventually, I learned to spell. And eventually, I learned to recognize numbers. I think I was in the second grade. I had left the school I had originally started in. I had gone to another school system. And in that school system, I was still lagging. I was behind a lot. But I finally moved on to the third grade. And by fourth grade, I remember I was beginning to read a little bit. I was beginning to get better at reading. I could spell a little bit. But as far as the math thing, arithmetic thing, I was still not good at it. And I remember being in the fourth grade at the bulletin board. And that was terrifying for me. It's terrifying when a kid don't know. I didn't know things. I couldn't do the math. And every now and then, a teacher would threaten us with a strap. But very seldom we got whipped for not knowing. It just didn't happen. They would threaten you a lot, but it didn't hardly happen. But I survived that fourth grade experience. And by fifth grade, I was relatively pretty proficient in reading. I could read. I could read. Math skills wasn't growing that much, but I could read a bit. And sixth grade, well, the teachers did something that I don't know if they do that today. We'd get the book, we'd start a chapter. Teacher would go down the row, first row, second student, third student. The teacher would instruct us to read a paragraph, and that's it. And after we'd read it, she may randomly call someone to ask them what they'd read. And I tell you, it terrified me. I'd read it, but very seldom I'd get it right. And by seventh grade, the system hadn't changed. We would still have to read. We have to read, read, and read. And we'd have to spell. And I think it helped me. Just that system alone helped me. And by eighth grade, I could read. You know, what they call big words. They were no problem for me. But I do believe that you'd hurt the student more by holding them back. I really do believe that would happen. Because every child can learn. And as far as learning disabilities go, I could identify with a lot of learning disabilities. I'm able to read now, and I can understand my situation much better. And some of the disabilities that kids have, I'm sure I had them. And as far as the basic home life, home situation, I know it affects a child. A child need the best home life that he can get. The best home life he can get, because anything negative in that home will affect that child. And that child will take that to other environments, and he will not do well. He will not be able to perform socially, whatever skill that's required of that child, he will lag that child, because that's why I really, really love the Head Start thing. That Head Start system, you get that child to dealing with people, you get them to dealing with adults, get them to be able to take orders and respect authority. So a child will learn all of that. But I seriously disagree with holding a child back. And I was not the only one in my family held back. The brother next to me, I'm 1 year older, and he was held back. And sometime now, I sit and I talk about it. I say, how can a guy held back, struggle in the first grade, end up being a straight-A student in high school? And that rascal's smart, but he was held back. Because being in the same home, the same household, I don't know how things affected him. It may have affected him a little bit different. And I was always a big brother to my little brother. So he'll tell me now, he said he felt protected by his big brother. So that was a good thing. That was really, really a good thing. And in college, we were held back. We still ended up going to college. That happened. And in that college environment, he struggled just a moment. It was just brief. But he was able to adjust. And he adjusted and went on and got that college degree. I struggled the entire 3 years. That is correct. And I struggled because of not knowing. That is correct. I'll admit it. I did not know. And by not knowing, I did not know how to put up a fight. And when I started to do well, when I finally started to do well in that at that university, I acquired 91 hours, then I quit. I quit when I had won. I was able. I was starting to know. Starting to understand what it is I had to actually do and what I had to look for inside of myself, because it was there. It was really there then. But as far as holding the kid back, I think our educators need to get together and talk about this. Really, really talk about it, because I'm thinking it's going to harm more than it help. Because I'm an example. I'm an example with holding back. And I understand my teachers. I understand my teachers from way, way, way back then. They were trying to help. they had this thing of wanting to help, and I think she held me back to help me. She didn't want to send me on in that circumstance, my circumstance rather, and didn't want to send me on to someone else who's going to struggle with me. I think she held me so that she could nurture me and get me on the right track. Because I'm going to tell you, I understand why a child cry at school. I did. Every day. And when I'd get off that bus, the tears would start flowing. And then naturally, the teachers, you know, they were nurturing. They would try to comfort you and make you feel better about things. But that took some time for me to adjust. It took some time for me to adjust. So kids crying, have a little sympathy for them, because I understand it. I understand it. Now, Dr. Cade Brumley, he's an educator. He's a PhD, doctor of education, I'm sure. But, you know, it requires a lot of us. It requires a lot of it. And sometimes it's not all about having a degree. Sometimes there are things that the degree just don't make up for. And I was around a lot of those teachers who did not have a master plus 30 or a PhD. But what they had, I'll tell you what, we needed today. They cared about us. They actually cared about us, and they showed it. And it's correct. They showed it. It was open communication, and they cared. They cared about the home, our home life. And if you come up missing from school, they would seek you out. They just had to know what was going on that particular student. They hadn't seen them, and they couldn't call them. They couldn't telephone them. The parents didn't have to have cars where they could go to the school. So it was quite different. But holding that kid back, I don't think that's the answer. I think we need to dig just a little bit deeper and see what's going on here. See why we are not learning. We have everything in America available to us. We have good schools. We have the technology. We have the universities to train the people. We have it. Believe it or not, we have it. And our living conditions, much better than it was when I was in school. You know, I had all the amenities, outdoor, indoor, whatever. It just was so different then. And I believe today we can be successful. We can be successful in these school systems. And I think it just requires putting our heads together, getting to the table, recognizing, identifying the problems, and bringing it to the table, and ironing it out, heat it up good, and shape it the way you want it. Because there are answers. Our education system has to do much better than what it's doing. And my wife was involved in education for a while, so maybe there are a few things she can share with you. Honey, would you like to say anything?
Yes. Education of children is so important, and knowing the child. I know you have a classroom with maybe 15 to 20 kids in there, and it's hard to get to know what's going on with each of them. But sometimes, you know, that is the problem. It could be simple. It could be a simple fix, as that child didn't. We know how that is about sleep. You know, if they didn't get enough rest the night before or the morning, they didn't get breakfast, you know, they'll be lagging. But the energy that, you know, that's needed in the classroom, all we have to do sometimes is just be willing to see and pull it out of them. Because I started working in the public school system in 1994. I retired from Bunke High School in 2015. I was a paraprofessional in the classroom in the special education setting. You know, pretty much a little bit different than the regular ed, but kids are all the same. You know, they still need nurturing and loving and tender loving care. And with our own children, you know, while I was there at the school, my kids were there. And I think that motivated them and made them feel safe. Sometimes they might have thought I was getting too nosy because I could be right there on the campus and see what's going on with them. But they applauded me for doing this, being around kids, loving kids. And that, you know, and also another person in the family, my brother Johnny Johnson. He's a math teacher in the St. Landry Parish school system. He teaches in Opelousas. He retired from North Central, I think, after being there maybe 18, 20 years. And now he's at an elementary middle school in Opelousas. I think what motivated him for that move was his two granddaughters. He's at the school where they are. And one is in fourth grade, and the other one is in second grade. So, and he's teaching kids sixth grade through eighth. So he's motivated with thinking and say, oh, I gotta hang in there, wait on my granddaughter. She got two more years before she get to my class. But our family, we love, you know, we concentrate on education. My daughter, she taught at Ruston Junior High School. Matter of fact, she was the girls' basketball coach. And I think she done this about 2 years before she, 2 to 3 years. And she's still in education. She's in Baton Rouge right now. And she works with LOSFA. And she just love it. She go from school to school in the parish, and she gets to see a lot of things that's going on with kids. She was the one that she's, you know, with the little gear up that we spoke about some time ago. So it's very important. I believe, you know, that kids shouldn't be held back. I think we should dig deeper into it, and I think if we all put our heads together, we can make it work.
And that's very good. Coming from someone who is experienced, 20 years experience, dealing with kids, a chance to sit there and observe. And when you they're observing, you can see a lot that maybe get missed. But you're there, it's hands-on. And I believe education should be hands-on. That human-to-human contact, that experience, especially the young children. The young children need that. Our young kids need that so much because they may not even be getting it at home. You know, when I visit a school, I'll try to look in every kid's eye that I'm facing, and you can see something in the little one's eyes. Some of them are very excited, and they're looking at you. They wonder what the old man with that gray hair doing in that schoolhouse. They're trying to figure why he's there. And many times you look at a kid and you smile. You look at a child and they'll wave. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's why I like being around kids. It's just one of the most comfortable places for me. The kid has no animosity. They have love in their hearts and they're bright. They're looking forward. And you know, seem like when some of us get just old and tired, we got a frown on the face. We're ready to quit, ready to throw the towel in and give up. But that was very good. My wife had some good days there.
Yes,
and she loved it. And the kids loved her. I can attest to that. But getting back to being held back, something came to mind. When I was at that university, you know, we'd have certain speakers. You know, we had entertainment, but you also got your educational speakers who come in. So there was a young black man that came in to speak. And it surprised everyone. He told the audience, he said, audience, they had thrown me away. They say I was mentally ill. They say I was just, it was no hope, nothing they could do for me. And that was it. They were ready to put me into a mental institution. He said, but it didn't happen. He said, now I'm here speaking. I'm speaking in front of you. I'm speaking before you. And he said, they had given up. They didn't know him. He said, they had given up on him. He said, but he knew he wasn't crazy. Those are words that he said, he knew he wasn't crazy. He said, because nothing about him ever made him believe that he was anything wrong with him. And he said, but that's what's going to happen to me. They wanted to put me into a mental asylum, a mental institution. He said, here I am before this class, before this audience speaking. So I think about that every now and then. Anytime I hear anything negative about people learning or their behavior, I often think about that situation. A man at a university who said he was ready to put him into a mental institution because he was lacking. But on education, the big thing's supposed to be Asian. They like to speak of China. China's doing well. They're doing well in math, and America seems to be lagging. But I've been trying to just wrap my mind around that situation. And I imagined a class of 20 Chinese students. And I imagined a class of 20 American students. In that American class, you got 20. 5 Hispanic, 5 African American, 5 American Indian, and 5 other. They could be Pakistani, they could be Yemen, they could be Palestinian. Because we have a country that's made up of different nationalities. So all 20, but in 20 of them, you got 4 different groups. They're different, but they're Americans. They're in American education system. In China, you got 5 Chinese in a Chinese education system, and you want to teach them math. So what do you do? What's the problem? That's not a problem, right? You teaching 5 Americans math. You teaching 5 Chinese in China. You teaching them math. Then what is the problem in America? Maybe the problem is when we look out into that audience in America, we don't see 20 American students, math students. Maybe we see 5 African American students. We see 5 Spanish students. 5 American Indian, 5 Caucasian, 5 other. But in China, when he look at the math class, he sees 20 Chinese. That's it. And he got to teach them math. So when that math instructor go into that class, really he's supposed to be a math instructor. That's it. He's a math instructor. Anything else concerning the difference in that American class, he has nothing to do with. He has nothing to do with. That classroom is not a time to be different. In that classroom, with those 20 American students who are all different, that's not a time to bring up the subject. In the math class is math. That's it. He's there to teach math because the Chinese instructor has no problem. He's dealing with Chinese. That's it. And what do the Chinese want that everybody else probably want? The Chinese want their kids to excel. The Chinese want them to be astronauts, pilots, physicians. Chinese got a space station in space right now. The Chinese walking out. The Chinese landed something on the moon a couple of years ago, the dark side of the moon. So I'm thinking the math instructor in China teaching his kids to be all of these things, like we like to say, to be all they can possibly be. And I think that American math instructor, American education system, I think somewhere we stumble. We have stopped teaching kids to be all that they can possibly be. And of course, you know the things you can't teach. There are certain things that you just can't teach, certain things that money can't buy. And I think if we start teaching the things that we need to teach and place a little bit more emphasis on things that money can't buy. Money can't buy character. Money cannot buy integrity. Can't buy compassion. And I think any American student, when he looks at his instructor, there are certain things he must see. I don't care what the race, what the color, what the nationality. There's certain things that instructor must bring to that setting. Because I think if you're Asian, Spanish, American Indian, we could all use a little character teaching. We could reference to integrity. I don't think it's lost on any human being. Not any human being. So if these other nations are excelling, if they are excelling, we got all the tools they have. We have every tool that they have. Why are we lagging? And I think it's a conversation that we got to have. We got to have that conversation. I've been in class with white, black, Indian, Asian, and I've seen my little brother, the guy I like to brag on, the straight-A student. I have seen him. I have seen him in a competitive situation. And he was competitive. And I wonder about that now. How could you bring a guy out of the cotton fields, bring him to a middle-class setting, rub elbows with middle-class individuals? I mean, middle-class, upper-middle-class. They got cars. They got the best clothes. He's sitting right there in that classroom. He's doing his accounting and his economics. And thank you. We will be back Thursday. Okay. And you heard that. You heard that little bit. So we will bring the show back to you next Thursday. Same time, 11 o'clock a.m. 88.1 KAYT. And my wife, I would like to get her because it makes it much better for me. It gives me a chance to take a little break. And like I said, you'll be able to call in Thursday. You want to call in on any of this? That's fine with me. And as I said, it's your show.
Yes, all about the people. And you can tell us what you would like to hear in our conversations. So we hope that you will enjoy what we're bringing. So, like we said, all about the people. And that is exactly what we want to do.
And you heard it. You heard it directly from my wife, who's been around education, who's been around me, and has a lot to offer this world. Has a lot to offer this world, and his children especially, because she has worked with children. So this show may help, if it just helped just one child get through school, if it just helped just one child, that would be a good thing. Because I am concerned about our education system in America. Because I know we have everything there. We have everything we need. We have the tools. And the kids are brilliant. They can learn. They can really learn. And thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here for us. And we'll try to be here for you also. All about people. Remember.
K-A-Y-T. Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
And of course, you know Satan is not going to just leave you alone after one attempt.
Mm.